particular passage of scripture at almost every funeral. I read it so much in that context that I almost forget what was happening at the time that Jesus says these words to his disciples. Do you happen to remember when Jesus talks about peace? It's just after he washed his disciples' feet and before he was arrested in a garden and taken to Pilate. Sometimes we miss that context, but that context, it is important. Jesus was not just hanging out with his friends on an average day, sitting in the garden eating olives when he was talking about peace. He knows what is coming. He knows what will ensue in the following days. And Jesus knows that he will not be with them much longer. The next few days would not be described as peaceful, but yet he speaks these words of peace. Notice that Jesus doesn't promise calm, but he promises peace, not as the world gives, but as he gives. And I wonder when I read this, if a word that might not come close to this peace is assurance. Assurance that no matter what the world brings, that it will be okay if we're grounded in Christ. What lay ahead for the disciples was unthinkable to them. They were faced with watching Jesus be taken away, be beaten and abused, be hung on a cross and laid in a tomb. I am sure they would not have said that it was peaceful. And after Jesus appeared to them, they were no longer afraid. They had been in hiding. They were behind a locked door because life had been anything but peaceful. But after Jesus appeared to them, after Jesus was resurrected, they were different. They had that assurance. They had that peace. What changed? I wonder if it wasn't the assurance of Christ in their hearts that the peace that could not be eroded by the world was given to them. Because they changed. They went from those who were hiding behind a locked door to those who were standing in the streets proclaiming the gospel. They went from people who did not want to speak to others to those who could not be quiet, who would face persecution and trial just so others could know who Jesus was. When we look at the disciples after Jesus appeared to them, we see a different picture, a picture of those who had assurance and who had peace. Peace can't be found in the world, you see. If we were going to find peace and assurance, we can't go looking for it on a mountain retreat or a beachside hammock. That kind of peace is fleeting. That kind of peace is temporary. That kind of peace doesn't fill our souls. It's just a little tiny piece of what we long for. A taste of the type of peace that Christ can give us, can fill us with when we turn to Jesus. When we have the peace that Jesus gives, we can face the chaos of the world knowing that there is hope in Christ, that this chaos is temporary, but goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life with Christ in eternity. Those disciples that Jesus was talking to when he told them that he would give them peace, they didn't automatically have that peace. It wasn't that he spoke it to them and then all of a sudden they had peace. No. They endured a lot of chaos. They were afraid. In fact, it wasn't until Jesus came back to them that they understood what that peace actually looked like. Just because we know Jesus doesn't mean we have peace. That peace is a choice and a gift. And in order to have that peace, we must choose to trust Jesus, to place our trust in His grace. One of the most beautiful parts of a baptism, and I get choked up pretty much every time I say it, is we say, "Do you place your trust in His grace? Do you place your trust in the grace of Christ?" Because it's in that place that we have peace. It's not enough just to have the head knowledge of who Jesus is, but we have to have an experience with Christ if we have peace and assurance. One of the most famous stories of John Wesley is his conversion story. You may have heard it before. But John Wesley, he knew Jesus. John grew up in a home that was filled with the teachings of Christ. His father was an Anglican pastor. His mother, who Suzanne talked about a few weeks ago, was a very educated woman. And by all accounts, she was a better preacher, teacher, and evangelist than her husband, who was a minister. John knew the Bible from front to back. He was trained to be a minister at Oxford. He was a missionary, though not very successful, to Georgia when he lived in Britain. His heart was in the right place. He had all the credentials. He was dedicated. He was educated. He knew Jesus. He knew all about Jesus. But it wasn't until a day when he was strolling down Aldersgate Street that he experienced assurance. This is what it says in his journal. It says, "In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society at Aldersgate Street, where there was one reading Martin Luther's preface to the Epistle of the Romans. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given to me that He had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." This man who knew so much about Jesus lacked the assurance of Christ in his heart. To that point in his life, he was not bold or peace-filled. His life was forced. He longed for something. He couldn't quite put the dots together, the pieces together. And then in that moment, he experienced Christ and he came alive. In fact, he was so passionate from that time on that the established church said, "You are too much for us." It was that moment that he truly had assurance and peace. You see, it's not enough to know who Jesus is, to have that head knowledge. We have to experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to have that peace that surpasses all understanding, to have peace and passion in the chaos of the world, because the world can erode all the peace we can ever find unless it comes from Jesus Christ. That peace cannot be taken away from the world. What you might not know about this story from John Wesley is that it wasn't just that he happened to begrudgingly go into a meeting on Aldersgate Street. Sometime before that, his brother Charles, who was another brilliant theological mind whom we sing Charles Wesley hymns a lot, Charles had the same upbringing, the same head knowledge of Jesus, and he was sick, and he was laying in the bed, and he was praying for an experience with God, and he had one. The very kind of same experience that John describes when his heart was transformed. And he had his brother John come, and he said, "John, I have to tell you this. Something incredible happened. I have this experience with Christ, and I have assurance." And John and Charles, they prayed that John would have that too. So John was preparing his heart. He was desiring to have that, to have that experience that would grant him assurance and peace in his heart. He had prepared his heart for the moment that he had at Altarsgate. It didn't just happen. It didn't just fall out of the sky. He was ready and willing. He was open to God's presence in his life when he had that experience. If we desire to have that peace that Christ offers, we must open ourselves up to God. We must prepare our hearts. We must desire this peace, because here is the good news. God wants us to have peace and assurance. God wants us to have power through the Holy Spirit. God desires for us to have that, but we have to be open to that experience. We have to want it too. Jesus tells us in the scripture, I will send the advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with you, to give you everything you need so you will not be alone. And in and through that, I give you my peace. Not as the world gives, but as I give. Sometimes we get wrapped up in the head knowledge of Jesus. Sometimes we think we know who Jesus is, but we have to have an experience with Christ to truly know the peace that surpasses all understanding. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, I've heard this scripture forever. This is the millionth time I've heard this, or maybe it's the first. But either way, God offers us peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. And Jesus wants us to have it. And we can receive that peace when we open our hearts to Christ and to allow ourselves to place our full trust in His grace. To place our full trust in the grace of Jesus Christ. And in that moment, our hearts will, for the first time or for the millionth time, be strangely warmed as we have assurance of the grace of God in our life. My prayer this week is that as we gather in this space this morning, that we will all feel our hearts warmed for the first time or again with the peace and assurance of Christ. That we will know without a shadow of a doubt that we are children of God, that we are redeemed and forgiven and empowered. Because when we sit in that place, when we are filled with that peace, we can go out in the world and be a powerful witness. We can go out in the world and live boldly through Christ. Those disciples who first heard this scripture, Jesus found them locked behind a door, and he granted them the assurance of his power and his presence. And when Jesus did that, they were changed. Changed by the Holy Spirit to go out and change the world. When we sit with Christ, when we have peace and assurance, we can be those people who leave this place of worship renewed and impassioned to go out into the world to proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the one who came to redeem us and to redeem the world. And when you have that inside of you, there is no chaos that this world can throw at you that you can't stand up to. And that is good news. Jesus said, I give you peace, not as the world gives, but so much better. Amen.